This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisiso, and we are going to focus our shiur on chapter 33, verse number 8. But before we do that, we're going to give a quick synopsis where we are holding. The Parsha is holding after the sin of the golden calf, where Hashem shunned the Jewish people. Then the verse writes down that Moshe Rabbeinu took his tent and put it outside the encampment. And Rashi explains because the reason is that Menuda L'Rav, Menuda L'Talmid, that somebody who is banished from the rabbi, meaning Hashem banished them, therefore he is also banished from the student. So Moshe Rabbeinu decided to move his tent outside, and Rashi said that he moved it outside 2,000 cubits, and he called the tent of meeting, meaning that anybody who wants to meet Torah or seek Torah should come there and meet Moshe Rabbeinu. And the verse says, "Vayukol mevakesh Hashem." Anybody who is seeking out Hashem will go out to the tent of meeting that is outside the encampment. Rashi explains that from here we learn also that the one who seeks a presence of an elder, a Torah scholar, is kemekabel pnei Hashchina, is tantamount of him seeking the presence of Hashem, because anybody who wanted to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu had to go outside the encampment, and that is considered like seeking Hashem. We are going to focus now on the verse that is going to be the topic of our shiur. The verse says, "V'hoyo ketzeis Moshe Eloi el Moed." It will be when Moshe Rabbeinu will come out of the tent of meeting. "Yakumu kolom," all the people would rise, the nitzvu, and they would stand ish pesach o'oloi, each person at the door of his tent. "V'ibitu acharei Moshe," and they would gaze after Moshe Rabbeinu. "Ad boyo holo," until he came to his tent. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Gimel 33b brings from this verse two different opinions. The Gemara there says, Ravame beravitzok nafke, that Ravame beravitzok nafke had a disagreement what is meant by this pasuk. Chad Omar Lignai, one said that they were gazing, the people were looking at Moshe Rabbeinu in a shameful way, vechad Omar lishvach, and one said that they were looking at it in a praiseworthy way. So the Gemara says, "Man de Omar legnai," the one who said that it was in a shameful way, kedeisa, as it was referred somewhere else. And Rashi explains that the later Amoraim did not want to express the shameful thing that was written previously. Therefore, they just mentioned kedeisa as it's written in the Medrash Tanhuma. And the Medrash Tanhuma in Simon Chav Zion in this week's Parsha writes down that Rav Yitzchok said lignai, that they were looking back at Moshe Rabbeinu and they were looking at his shoulders and they were looking at his thighs and they were saying how thick is his thighs and how thick is his shoulders, that oichel medidan, that he's eating from ours, meaning that he's embezzling to eat from our money, the shoyse medidan, and he's drinking from ours, meaning that he's drinking from our money, meaning that they were complaining at Moshe Rabbeinu that he is spending the community's money on his own self-indulgence. That is a simple interpretation of the Gemara. The Gemara in Kedushin proceeds to write down that according to the opinion of the one that said that this verse is meant to be lishvach, to praise Moshe Rabbeinu, and we see from the Medrash Tanhuma that this opinion is the opinion of Ravami, the Gemara says that is because of the halacha that when you see a Torah scholar, you're required to get up from him in 4 cubits, and after he passes you 4 cubits, you could sit down. And when you see the Avbezin, the head of the court, then you're supposed to stand up from him as soon as you see him. But after he passes you and he walks 4 cubits, passes you, you could sit down. But when you see the king, or you see a Nasi, the prince, or the spiritual leader of the people, somebody in the category of Moshe Rabbeinu, then you're required to get up as soon as you see him, and you can't sit down until the person is out of sight. Meaning that since it's written here that they gazed at Moshe Rabbeinu until he came to his tent, that means they were doing it according to the halacha, that they were doing it the proper way, that they were gazing at Moshe Rabbeinu because he was the leader of the generation, he was the Nasi. Therefore, they had to stand up in front of him as soon as they saw him, and only when he came to his tent, that means that he was out of sight, that is when they could sit down. Therefore, the Torah writes down that they gazed to Moshe Rabbeinu until he came into his tent. That is the opinion of the Gemara in Kedushin, as we mentioned. But just a quick note that the same Gemara is also in Talmud Yerushalmi, in Shkolim, Perek Chamishi, the end of Halacha Beis, and there the Gemara explains that the Shvach, the praise, was different, and there the Gemara says the praise is that the people used to say that we wish that we merit to see the righteous and just, that it is good to have merited to see Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning they were gazing at Moshe Rabbeinu because they wanted to see the face of a great rabbi, of a great man, and therefore they were gazing at him the whole time. The Medrash Tanchuma describes the praise differently, and the Medrash Tanchuma explains that the praise was that they said that praiseworthy are the children that are learning from Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was the praise that they gave. But nonetheless, we see that the verse says that they were gazing after Moshe Rabbeinu, and there are those who say lignai for shame, and there are those who say lishvach for praise. And the question that Meforshim want to know, that we have a rule, have a danes kol adam lekaf schus, that I have to judge everybody to the side of merit, meaning that whenever I have a doubt if a person is guilty or not guilty, I should always try to find a way to view him as not guilty. And here we have a verse where the verse could be interpreted for the good and for the bad of the Jewish people. And Rabbi Yitzchok decides that this verse means to say that the Jewish people are saying something bad against Moshe Rabbeinu. Why would he do that? We have a rule that we have to be dan lekaf schus. We have to judge him meritoriously. Then why would they say that? The Ksav Sofer explains that when the Gemara says that there are those who said shvach praiseworthy, that we understand very well. But even when the Gemara says that this was lignite, it was for a shameful way, it does not mean chas v'sholem that they were looking at Moshe Rabbeinu and thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu was embezzling, as we mentioned. Quite opposite. They were saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve such a high level, to be such a great righteous man, because everything that he has comes from us, meaning since we are giving him to eat and since we are giving him to drink, that means we are supporting him. Since we are supporting him, then he doesn't have to worry about a livelihood. Therefore, he could be a great righteous person. And he explains that according to this comes out that Vebitu, that they were looking at Moshe Rabbeinu, it means that they were jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the same way, the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph 21a, writes down that Kinas Sofrim Tarbe Chochma, that the jealousy of Torah scholars brings you more wisdom. Therefore, they were jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu that he became such a great righteous person. And they were saying that the reason that he became so righteous is because we take care of his livelihood. Since we take care of his livelihood, he could learn Torah without any worries, and therefore there is no great wonder that he became such a great Torah scholar. Then according to this Ksam Sofer, even the people that were saying lignai, were saying shameful things, were also saying good things of Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were saying that Moshe Rabbeinu only became such a righteous person because we are supporting him. And we could say, according to this Ksam Sofer, that when they were dashing lignai, they were looking at Moshe Rabbeinu for a shameful way, it means that their own shameful way. Because since they were saying that Moshe Rabbeinu got to this level because they didn't have to worry about Parnasa, that ends up being a shame for themselves. Because since we are discussing here the desert, and in the desert, everybody had their Parnasa, their livelihood, taken care directly by Hashem, because Hashem gave them manna, and Hashem gave them also the Mayber, the waters of well of Miriam. Therefore, they didn't have to worry about Parnasa, they didn't have to worry about livelihood, then everybody could have achieved the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then what they were saying ended up being lignai, a shame for them. The Chasam Sofer also says that both groups, even those who were said shameful things, were also righteous people. And he also explains that they were jealous at Moshe Rabbeinu. And he explains that based on what is written in Shmuel 2, chapter 6, where there we see that because of what Hashem did to Uzzah, David HaMelech did not want to bring the Ark to Yerushalayim. He was afraid to bring the Ark to Yerushalayim. Therefore, David HaMelech decided to put the ark in the house of Oved Edom Hagiti, and then it's written that Hashem blessed the house of Oved Edom Hagiti because of the ark being there, and then after David HaMelech saw that Hashem blessed the house of Oved Edom Hagiti, then David HaMelech decides to bring the ark to Jerusalem. So the Chasam Sofer says, we see from here that the Torah, the ark, could be a samachaim, could be an elixir of life, and could give you blessings. And quite the opposite, if you are not meritorious, it could be a samamoves, it could be a poison of death. Therefore, he explains that the righteous people, when they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy, and Moshe Rabbeinu had the radiance in his face, as is written in the end of this parsha, Ki Koran Oirponov, that he had radiance in his face, then the people became jealous at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were saying that everything Moshe Rabbeinu has is because of us, meaning because of our merit that we have the ark, and the ark is in his house, therefore everything that he has comes from us. But Chas v'Shalom, they were suspecting that Moshe Rabbeinu embezzles, or Moshe Rabbeinu steals. They were just saying that we are also righteous people, and had it not been for the other people around us, we would have merited to have this ark amongst us, and we would have become wealthy, and we would have become radiant. So therefore they were saying that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu has comes from us. But the other people that really suffered because of their sin, the people that were Baal Tshuvas, he writes down, they knew that they are not meritorious, that Hashem should be amongst them. So therefore they were gazing at Moshe Rabbeinu and saying, at least we have the merit to see Moshe Rabbeinu. So according to Chasam Sofer, both groups, the one that said shameful things and the one that said praiseworthy things, were both righteous people. The first group were righteous people that didn't do the golden calf, and they were bemoaning the fact that they didn't merit to have the Aron, the Ark, amongst them, and therefore they didn't get the wealth and didn't get the radiance that comes by the blessing of the Ark, and they were saying gnai, shameful things on themselves, that they didn't merit to have that, and only Moshe Rabbeinu merited to have that, and he has all the goodness because of us. And the second groups were groups that actually did the golden calf, and now they repented, where they realized that they are not meritorious to have the ark amongst them, therefore they were at least happy to gaze at Moshe Rabbeinu. So both groups were groups of righteous people according to the Chasam Sofer. The only problem with this Chasam Sofer is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Omad Aleph 110a, brings the verse in Parshas Korach, in Bamidbar, chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, where there the verse says, Vaishma Moshe, Moshe heard, Vaipol al ponov, and he fell on his face. The Gemara asks a question, Ma shmua shama, what did Moshe Rabbeinu hear that caused him to fall on his face? Meaning, that since Korach was speaking against Moshe and Aharon, why only Moshe Rabbeinu fell on his face? Omer Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Omer Rav Yonison says, Shechashdu Moshe Sish, that he suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of transgression, the prohibition against having relations with a married woman. Shenemar, because it's written in the verse in Tehillim, chapter 106, verse number 16, Vayekanu leMoshe b'machne, that they were jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu in the camp, and the word kino is also written in regards to Sota, in regards to a woman who is suspected by a husband of committing adultery, in Bamidbar chapter 5, verse number 14. Therefore, Omra Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, Melamed shekol echad v'echad kines ish to be Moshe, that every person warned his wife against secluding with Moshe Rabbeinu. As it's written, the verse in this week's parsha, Moshe ikach es oil, v'not olay mechutz l'machna, the Moshe Rabbeinu will take his stand and he will move it outside the encampment, meaning since Moshe Rabbeinu was outside the encampment, then the women used to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, then the husband suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of committing adultery. And Yerushalmi brings this idea that they were suspecting Moshe Rabbeinu of committing adultery from the fact that it is written, Veibitu acharei Moshe, that they were gazing at Moshe Rabbeinu until he came to his tent. That implies that they were suspecting something bad against Moshe Rabbeinu. then we see from here that they really suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of committing crimes. Then we see that they are not righteous people, they were actually bad people, because they could suspect Moshe Rabbeinu of even committing adultery. Then we see that it is leganai, it is actually shameful. Then we have our original question, since we have a chance to expound this verse for goodness and for shame, why would we expound this verse for shame? And second, even if we want to expound this verse for shame, how is it possible that the people would think such a thing? Meaning, it's impossible to understand that people would think that Moshe Rabbeinu is even committing adultery. In regards to the first question, why would Rav Yitzchok decide that this gazing is meant for shaming Moshe Rabbeinu, I could answer based on what is written in Rashi in Shmos chapter 5, verse number 20. There, after Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro and Paro made the work of the Jewish people harder, it's written, Vayivgo es Moshe, they found Moshe Rabbeinu as Aharon and Aharon, Nitzavim likrosom, standing up in front of them, Betzeisom es Paro, when they left Paro and they told Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem should judge you for what you did. Rashi there brings from the Gemara in Adorim 64b, where the Gemara there says that Rabbi Seinu Darshu, our rabbis, expounded, that kol nitzim v'nitzavim, that every time it's written in the language nitzav, fighting, or nitzavim, standing, where no subject is stated, dosam vaviram hayo, they were dosam vaviram. Shenemar bohem, because in regards to dosam vaviram, it's written in Bamidbar, chapter 16, verse number 27, that dosam vaviram yotzu nitzavim, that dosam vaviram came out standing upright. So every time it's written the word nitzav or nitzav, is dosam vaviram. Therefore, I wanted to say that since in our verse it's written, Vayok, it says, Moshe Lo'el, Moshe Rabbeinu will come out of the tent, Yokumu Kola'am, all the people would stand up, V'nitzvu Ish Pesach Oloi, and each person in the door of his tent would stand erect, V'bitu Achre Moshe, and they would gaze after Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Boyo Holo, until he came to his tent. So here it's written the language, V'nitzvu Ish Pesach Oloi, that each person would stand erect at the door of his tent. And in regards to Dosam Vaviram, it's written that verse in Bamidbar chapter 16, verse number 27, that Dosam Vaviram Yotzu Nitzavim Pesach Oleim, that Dosam Vaviram would stand erect at the doors of their tents. That means that these people that were gazing were Dosam Vaviram. And clearly, if Dosam Vaviram were gazing, Rabbi Yitzchok knew they were not gazing for good intents, they were gazing for bad intents. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchok says that they were saying it lignai, because the Torah chooses to use the language nitzav, and we have a rule that every time it says the word nitzav, it is dosam vaviram. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchok knew that whenever they were speaking shameful things. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchok has to say what they were saying, shameful things. Sefer Shemrosh wants to answer our question, how can they suspect Moshe Rabbeinu, and how can the people accept their suspicion, by bringing first another Gemara, where the Gemara in Basra Dav Ayin Hei 75 brings the verse in Bamidbar chapter 27, verse number 20, where it's written there, V'nasato mehoitcho, you should give from your majesty to Yeshua. So meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu should transfer to Yeshua some of his majesty. So the Gemara writes down, mehoitcho, from your majesty, v'loi koloitcho, but not all your majesty. The Gemara continues that the Kenin Sheboyis Ador, that the elders of that generation, Omru, they used to say, Pnei Moshe ki Pnei Chama, that the face of Moshe Rabbeinu is like the face of the sun. Pnei Yeshua, but the face of Yeshua ki Pnei Levona is like the face of the moon. Oy loy loy se busha, oh for that shame, oy loy se chlema, oy for that embarrassment. And the simple interpretation in the Gemara is that they were saying that to Yeshua, meaning that they were comparing Yeshua's radiance to the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were saying that Yeshua is only like a moon and not like a sun. And Mefarshim are bothered on this Gemara, why would the elders shame Yeshua publicly? True that Yeshua wasn't in a level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but you don't have to say that to Yeshua's face. Then what is the point of them saying, oh for that shame, oh for that embarrassment? why would they shame Yeshua publicly? And then Sefer Shemeroish brings the pasuk in beginning of Lech Lecha in Bereshis, chapter 12, where Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha Ma'arzcho, go out from your land, Molatcho, from your birthplace, Besavicho, and from your father's house, El Oretz Asherecho, to the land that I will show you. And then it says, Ve'ezcho L'goy Godol, I will make you as a big nation. The first Rashi of the Parsha says that only if you leave, then I will make you a big nation. But here, you are not going to marry to have children. Sefer Shemeroish asks, why is that so? Why can't Hashem give children to Avraham Avinu even where he is? Why only if he leaves, then he merits to have children? Therefore, Sefer Shemeroish wants to answer this based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Nun Vav Amud Aleph 156a. There the Gemara is discussing if Yesh Mazel LeYisrael or Ein Mazel LeYisrael. Meaning, Rabbi Hanina says that Mazel Machkim, that celestial signs give you wisdom, meaning the sign that a person is born under, that will cause the person to become smart or not. Mazel Mashir, the celestial sign will give you wealth, meaning the horoscope will give you wealth. Ve'yesh Mazel Israel, and the Jewish people are under the control of celestial signs. Rashi explains that according to this opinion, Ain't filo tzedakah meshanes hamazel, that no prayer and no charity will change the way that these celestial signs predetermine you. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Ein mazel Israel, that the celestial signs not necessarily prevail over the fate of the Jewish people. Meaning, according to the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan also agrees that the celestial signs give influence on the person, but Rabbi Yochanan believes that through prayer and through good deeds, a person could change what is prescribed for him by the celestial signs. The Marsho asks that we see many times the Torah, that the Torah promises that if you are going to keep the mitzvahs, Hashem will give you wealth and will give you many things. And if you are not going to keep the mitzvahs, then Hashem will take away the wealth and many things. And if I hold, according to Rabbi Hanina, that Yesh Mazel Yisrael, that the Jewish people are under the mazel, they're under the celestial bodies, that even though they will pray or they will do good deeds, still they will be under the influence that they were born with, that they are prescribed, then why does the Torah make all these promises that if you keep the mitzvahs and Torah, then you'll become wealthy? If you're saying that the mazel causes you to become wealthy, then it's already predetermined how much wealth you're going to get. Then how can the Torah tell you that if you do mitzvahs, then it will change? According to the opinion, the Ein Mazel Yisrael, that is exactly what it means, meaning that the Jewish people are not necessarily under the influences of the mazel of the celestial bodies, meaning that if they do good deeds, then they could change their mazel. As the Torah tells you, that if you are going to make the mitzvahs, then Hashem will give you plenty and will give you everything you want, even if your horoscope did not prescribe it. But if I hold that the mazel makes you wealthy, then how is it possible that the Torah should make these promises? Therefore, the Marsho explains that Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yochanan are only arguing in regards to the individual Jew. But the collective of the Jewish people, Bnei Israel, all the Jewish people, definitely they are not under the influence of the mazel. And if the Jewish people keep mitzvahs, then Hashem will give wealth even though your mazel says that you should not become wealthy. Meaning that Rabbi Hanina holds that only the individual is under the influence of the horoscope, and therefore the individual, when he prays, that will not make a difference, but the collective of the Jewish people who are not under the influence of the mazel, and by them, if they have merits, then the mazel will change, or they pray for the collective of the Jewish people, the mazel will change. But individually, Rabbi Hanina holds that Yesh Mazel Yisrael, that we are definitely under the influence of the horoscope. According to this answer of the Maharsha, Sefer Shemeroish says that this could be the reason why the rabbis established that all our prayers should be in the plural. And in all prayers, we connect ourselves to the collectivity of the Jewish people, because like that, our prayers would work. Because if I hold Yesh Mazel Yisrael, that we are under the auspices of the celestial bodies, then the prayers would not work. But since we attach ourselves to the collectivity of the Jewish people, and when we're talking about the collectivity of the Jewish people, then merits and prayers would help, then the prayers would work. Then Sefer Shemirosh brings the answer of the Yalkut Agershuni, which he answers the question of the Maharsha that asked that according to the opinion Yesh Mazel Yisrael, that we are under the influence of the celestial bodies, and whatever it was predetermined to us, it will remain the same, and it can't be changed even if you do good deeds and pray. Then how is it possible that the Torah tells you that if you are going to hearken the word of Hashem, then Hashem is going to give you plenty and food and all the good things? The Yalkut Gershuni answers that these blessings that Hashem says that He's going to give you if you do good deeds, that only applies in the land of Israel. Meaning that since the verse writes down in Parshas Ekev, Devarim, chapter 11, verse number 12, Eres Asher Hashem Kecho Dore Shoiso, a land that Hashem your God seeks it, and this is referring to the land of Israel, Tomit in Hashem Elokecha Bo, always the eyes of Hashem are on it, Mereishis Hashana Ad Achrishana, from the beginning of the year until year's end, then clearly the verse writes down that when you are in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem Himself is supervising you, then clearly in Eretz Yisrael, you are not under the auspices of the stars, you are not under the influence of the stars, therefore Hashem tells you that if you are going to do the good deeds, you are going to perform what I tell you, I will give you the blessings in the land. But outside of Israel, the Yalkut Gershuni says that you are under the influence of the stars, and even if you do good deeds, and even if you pray, that won't help, because whatever the stars tell you, that is what is going to happen, according to the opinion, Yesh Mazel Yisrael, that the Jewish people are under the influence of the stars. And according to this, he explains, now we understand why Hashem told Avraham Avinu to move out of his place and come to Eretz Yisrael. Because since we know that Avraham Avinu and Sarah were born Akorim, both were born without the possibility for them to have children, then obviously they cannot change what is written in the stars outside of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore Hashem told Avraham Avinu that go to the land that I'll show you, meaning come to Eretz Yisrael, and there you'll marry to have children, because there you aren't under the influence of the stars anymore, you're under my influence, and since you are under the influence of Hashem, good deeds and prayer would help, then your prayer would help and change your status. As a side note, Sefer Shemirosh brings a proof from this week's Parsha that we hold that Ein Mazel Yisrael, that we are not necessarily under the auspices of the Mazel of the celestial bodies. Because one thing that the Gemara argues, if we are under the celestial bodies or not, is if Machkim, if your wisdom comes from the celestial bodies. But here in chapter 31, verse number 2, it says that Rei Korosi B'Shem B'Tzalal B'Uri B'Chur L'Mati Yehuda, see that I called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, to the tribe of Judah. V'amaleoisam, and I filled them with the Ruach Elokim, the Spirit of Hashem, Chochma, wisdom, v'svuna, insight, v'das, and knowledge, v'chol melocha, and with every craft. And it continues on to describe how Hashem gave such great wisdom to Bezalel. And the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Memches, Simen Gimel, asks a question, why does the Torah go all the way to Hur? Why can the Torah just say Bezalel ben Uri? So the Medrash explains that Hur gave his life in order the Jewish people should not do the golden calf, meaning that they approached Hur to do the golden calf and he would not do it, and therefore they killed him. Then Hashem gave the reward for Hur that his grandson Bezalel is the one that's going to be the architect for the Mishkan, for the tabernacle. Therefore, we see that the reason that Bezalel got such great wisdom is because of Hur. Comes out that Bezalel by himself did not merit to have such great wisdom. Specifically, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Samach Tesamet Beis 69b, that says that Bezalel was only 13 years old at this time, then clearly he did not deserve or did not merit to have such wisdom by the mazel itself, by the predestination of the celestial body. But only after the murder of Hur, after Hur gave up his life because of Hashem, then Hashem gave Bezalel all this wisdom. So it comes out that from Bezalel we could see that when you have great merits, you could change your mazel, that even though technically you shouldn't have such great wisdom, but because of the merits, you could have great wisdom. That is the proof that Sefer Shemeroish wants to bring to this idea that we hold a mazel Yisrael, that we are not necessarily under the auspices of the celestial bodies. I wanted to say that this proof, according to the Yalkut Gershuni, is not such a great proof, because as the Yalkut Gershuni explains that in Eretz Yisrael there isn't such a thing as Yesh Mazel Yisrael, because since Hashem himself watches over Eretz Yisrael, therefore the stars don't have any influence, only Hashem himself has the influence. I wanted to say that while the Jewish people were in the desert, then the Mazel did not influence either. Because originally when the Jewish people sinned by the sin of the golden calf, in chapter 33, verse number 2, Hashem says that he's going to send an angel, and Hashem explains that I won't be able to go myself in front of you because you are a stiff-necked people, penachelcho baderech, because maybe you will sin and then I will destroy you on the way, meaning that Hashem wanted to remove himself and put an angel to guide us. But then Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem in verse number 15, im ein ponecho hoilchim al telenu mizeh, that if you do not guide us yourself, then don't bring us up from here. And Hashem agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu that he himself is going to guide us through the desert. Then comes out that Hashem is himself supervising us. Since Hashem himself is supervising us, then there is no more proof that Ein Mazel Yisrael from the fact that the merits of Hur helped Bezalel to get extra wisdom, even though it wasn't predestined by the stars. In this case, even according to the opinion Yesh Mazel Yisrael, that we are under the auspices of the stars and the merits would not help, in this case would still help, because since this case, when we were in the desert, it's tantamount of us being in Eretz Yisrael, since Hashem himself is supervising us in the same way that Hashem always supervises Eretz Yisrael, and according to the Yalkut Gershon, in that case we hold that Hashem controls the mazel, we are not under the stars, Hashem is the one who controls, therefore Bezalel could get extra wisdom even though it wasn't predestined by the stars, because since Hashem himself controls the Jewish people in the desert, then Hashem himself is in control and he takes away the influences of the stars. But going back to our topic, Sefer Shemeroish notes that right before the statement that they were gazing after Moshe Rabbeinu in the Gemara in Shkolim, in Perek Hamishi, Halacha Beis, right before the Gemara says there, Omar Abchama Barab Chanina, Mipsolus Shaluchos Hashir Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy from the fragments that he chiseled away in carving out the second tablet. Because it's written in the verse, in Shmos, chapter 34, verse number 1, Psal Lecha Shnei Luchos Avonim, carve yourself two stone tablets. So he plays with the word, Psal Lecha Shateya Psolus Shalcha. Carved to you, which means that the leftover, the fragments that you chisel out should be yours. And since we know that the luchas were made of sapphire, then Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy from the sapphire that he chiseled out the two tablets from. And then the Gemara continues, Omar Abchanan, Machzav Shel Avonei Toiv Zumar Golyois, Baro LaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitoich HaOloi, that Hashem created for Moshe Rabbeinu a quarry of precious stones and pearls within his tent. And Mimenu Hashir Moshe, and from them Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy. So Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy from those stones and the quarry that Hashem made in his tent. Then comes out according to this that Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy in an extraordinary way where people did not know that, because everybody that left Egypt came out wealthy because they took from the loot of Egypt, but Moshe Rabbeinu did not take from the loot of Egypt, either because Hashem only said that those people who will work will come out if a huge wealth, and since Moshe Rabbeinu was never enslaved and never worked in Egypt, therefore he didn't want to take the wealth of Egypt, or because everybody was busy taking the wealth of Egypt and Moshe Rabbeinu was busy taking the bones of Yosef. But nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu came out of Egypt without any wealth. And then all of a sudden, the people see that Moshe Rabbeinu is extraordinarily wealthy. Therefore, the people started saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is taking things that are ours, that he's drinking from ours and he's eating from ours, because otherwise, how is he going to find such a huge wealth in the desert? Nobody knew that Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy from the fragments of the tablets, or that Hashem created specifically for Moshe Rabbeinu under his tent, a quarry. And according to this, Sefer Shem Eroi says, now we understand why they suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of committing adultery. Because the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kaf Nun Vav, Amud Aleph, 156a, describes the character that people have when they are born certain hours and certain days. And in all case of the Gemara, whenever the Gemara says that the mazel makes somebody wealthy, the Gemara also says that the mazel makes the same person zanai, the same person becomes promiscuous. And Rashi explains that he's adulterer. Therefore, since the people saw that Moshe Rabbeinu became extraordinarily wealthy, even though the people believed that he stole the money from them, they also believed that he is an adulterer. Therefore, they warned their wives not to be together with Moshe Rabbeinu. Based on this Sefer Shemeroj, I wanted to say that if we hold that Yesh Mazel Israel, then clearly if you are wealthy, then automatically you are also a Zanai, also an adulterer. But what the Jewish people did not know is that since Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that Hashem should be in control of the Jewish people, then clearly we are not under the Mazel. Then Moshe Rabbeinu could be wealthy and not be a Zanai. Meaning, the Jewish people did not know that Hashem had forgiven them for the sin of the golden calf, because after the golden calf, Hashem said that an angel is going to guide you, and if an angel guides us, then we are under the auspices of the stars, we are under the horoscope, and therefore the Jewish people saw that he became wealthy. The people thought that he is also an adulterer. What they didn't know is that Moshe Rabbeinu had prayed to Hashem, and Hashem said that he himself is going to guide us. And as the Yalkut Gershoni explains, when Hashem himself guides us, then we are not under the auspices of the stars. But going back to what Sefer Shemeroish says, Sefer Shemeroish continues and says that even though the people suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of embezzling money, nonetheless, the people should have seen that they are wrong. Because if they would follow the mazel, the stars, they would see that they were wrong. Meaning that since they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu's face became radiant, as it's written in the end of the parsha, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain, Koran Oir Ponov, his face became radiant, then the Jewish people should have understood that he did not steal. Because the Gemara there in Shabbos Daf Kaf Nun Vav Amud Aleph 156a writes down that somebody who is born under the Chama, that if somebody is born in the time that the sun is in control, Yehi Gvar Zivson, will be a person who has a lustrous appearance, meaning has a shiny appearance, because the sun is shiny. Yeochel Midilei V'shos Midilei, he'll eat of his own and drink of his own, meaning that he won't go and steal, won't go into somebody else's property, in the same way that the sun does not go into the night. Verozoi Galion, and his secrets will be revealed to all, because in the same way that the sun lights up everything, therefore his secrets will be lit up. Veim Ganov, if he's going to steal, Loi Matzlach, he'll not be successful, because it will be in full view of everybody, therefore he won't be successful. Therefore, since they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu's face became radiant, they should have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu is under the star of the sun, and in that case, he eats of his own and drinks of his own and does not steal. But what happened? They misinterpreted the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu has a radiant face, and they thought that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu has a radiant face is because all the leaders of the Jewish people, Hashem gives them a radiant face. And in truth, Moshe Rabbeinu really has a bad character, and he has a character of taking somebody else's property. Therefore, when they saw that Yeshua became leader and Yeshua's face is like the moon, then they realized that Hashem does not make the leaders of the Jewish people's face radiant. That this was not the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's face became radiant. Then they realized that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's face became radiant is because he was under the mazel chama, he was under the mazel of sun, which makes your face radiant. And as we mentioned, the other qualities of somebody who is born under the mazel of chama is that he only eats what is his and he cannot steal. Then now the elders realized that they suspected Moshe Rabbeinu in vain. Therefore, when the elders saw that Moshe Rabbeinu's face was like the sun and Yeshua's face is like the moon, then they realized that Moshe Rabbeinu's radiance came because he was under the mazel chama. Therefore, they said, Oy lo lo shabusha, oy lo lo sechluma, oh for that disgrace, oh for that shame. Meaning that now they feel sorry for having shamed Moshe Rabbeinu and having disgraced Moshe Rabbeinu. But not that they were saying this to Yeshua, quite opposite. They were saying to themselves that since now they realize that Moshe Rabbeinu's radiance is not because he was the leader of the Jewish people, but it is because he was under the auspices of the star Chama, of the sun star. Therefore, now they realize that Moshe Rabbeinu could not have taken food from somebody else and drank from somebody else because part of being under that star is that you cannot steal. Therefore, now they said, woe is for that shame, woe is for that embarrassment that we embarrassed Moshe Rabbeinu in vain, and therefore we should be shamed for doing that. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should merit to have some of the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu, as Mefarshim write down, that through learning Torah we are able to get the radiance that Moshe Rabbeinu received, and then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, Mimheru Beyomeinu Amen.